This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Norton Sound storms have caused large chunks of the Shaktulik Berm to erode this year, necessitating emergency repairs. As such, the community recently received $1 million from the National Coastal Resilience Fund to help them maintain the berm. KNOM's Emily Hofstetter reports on how the berm is protecting the community's most vulnerable areas from the ocean waves for now.
The Shaktulik IRA office is a cozy retreat from the single-degree weather where ice fog clings to everything outside. Community coordinator Sophia Kachetag sits at her desk and lays out the plan to spend a $1 million grant Shaktulik received from the National Coastal Resilience Fund.
Half of that will be used for equipment. The other half will be used for labor. We purchased two dump trucks, very old models, a few years back, and they did its last year this year. So we're expecting new equipment in the spring.
Shaktulik is on a gravel sand spit between the Deguminik River and Norton Sound. While the berm is all that stands between the village of about 250 people and the saltwater waves, there are some areas that need more protection from erosion than others. Kachetag is especially concerned about the front of the two tank farms and the back of the school.
We have an evacuation place, and that is a school.
Findings from the Shaktulik Interagency Planning Work Group state that even though the community school was reinforced and expanded to become a storm shelter, it still isn't elevated high enough. Nor is it large enough to hold all of the residents in the event of severe flooding or another type of large-scale weather event. During bad storms, Kachetag says a group of volunteer storm watchers will chart the water levels, sometimes taking flashlights into the night.
So we had some storm watchers, making sure that, the ocean wasn't going over the berm or the river wasn't rising over. And if that were to be, then they would alert the community to go to the school ASAP.
Erosion also causes concern beyond that of life and property. It's a public health issue, too. Kachetag explains that Shaktulik uses their river as the only freshwater source, but if salt water mixes with it, then they can't rely on the river. She's working on securing more funding to reinforce that part of the berm before erosion turns them into an island. Some Shaktulik residents aren't sure if the berm, even a reinforced berm, can hold up against the increasingly strong and unpredictable coastal storms. Shaktulik Mayor Edgar Jackson Sr. and his wife Helen remember autumn storms from their youth in the 50s and 60s, which were big, but Edgar says patterns and intensity are definitely changing.
Anytime, they're getting to be anytime.
Yeah. You don't know when it's coming without expecting them. They come, come and go. But so far, we've been lucky.
One of those unpredictable storms came in August of this year, and it eroded nearly half the berm in some sections, showing how vulnerable that barrier can be. The Denali Commission facilitated emergency repairs to the berm, which were completed in October. Mayor Jackson wants to have other options in the event of future storms.
I'd rather have a road built than a berm. I feel a lot safer over at the hill.
Bundled up against the cold, Sophia Kachetag surveys the approximately 1 mile long berm. It's covered in snow now, but the barrier consists of local gravel, sand, and driftwood. There are lots of areas she'd like to see protected, but they have to take funding as it comes.
$1 million grant we got is mainly for in front of town, mainly for the sensitive areas, but I think we might be able to cover the whole front.
Kachetag jokes that she spends all of her time doing grants, but it's so they can look for all their options, from an emergency access road to a seawall and even potentially relocation. For now, they'll reinforce the berm and hope it holds up against future storms. Reporting from Shaktulik, I'm Emily Hofstetter.
Scott Kinnicook, the primary water plant operator in the village of Savunga, has been named Alaska Rural Water Association's Wastewater Operator of the Year. KNOM's JoJo Phillips reports on how Kinnicook positively impacts his community.
A representative from the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, the ANTHC, traveled to Savoonga to personally hand deliver the award.
This nomination is statewide, and they were so impressed by the report and by Scott's abilities here that he actually won the wastewater operator of the year.
That's Chris Cox, a manager for ANTHC's Utility Collaborative. Running Savoonga's water and sewer system is no small task. Kingy Cook and his crew are responsible for servicing the village's water plant, the sewage lagoon, and handling repairs for Savoonga's 600 residents. There are approximately 150 serviced buildings, all of which require regular attention from the village's four operators. Kingy Cook credits his success to two factors.
Hard work, and I attribute a lot of it to my crew. I have a good crew. I really couldn't do a lot without my guys.
Kingy Cook has been working as a wastewater operator since 2011, when the former primary operator needed a hand. At that point in time, Kingy Cook was focused on a completely different technical mechanical skill.
Yeah, I actually went to a motorcycle mechanics institute in Arizona. I grew up on small engine repairs. I have older brothers that brought me up on. So I've always had a mechanical background.
Although he lacked formal experience, Kingy Cook learned on the job and eventually was promoted several years later. He says having a steady job in the remote island community is not something he takes for granted.
There's a small economy in Savoonga. It's either the store, the school, or city, or the tribe for any kind of work. Yeah, it's just nice to have a full-time job.
Despite this, operating the water plant can be mentally and physically taxing. Kingy Cook has considered leaving the position before.
At some point, I did burn out and want to quit, partly because our rate of pay was pretty low. When I started, I was working at $16 an hour. But just a couple of years ago, they were able to go back and take a look at the rate of pays with operators in Alaska, and they were able to bring our rate of pay quite a bit up, substantially up.
Even with increased pay, Kingy Cook sees the future as uncertain. In particular, he is worried about the changing climate and its effect on Savoonga's infrastructure.
As you know, we're hit with climate change pretty good. So it's a lot warmer, and all the permafrost is thawing out underground. It's sinking.
A sinkhole has opened up near the village's lagoon and is threatening to damage Savoonga's sewer lines. Kingy Cook doesn't believe it will be feasible to move the equipment below ground. He and his crew use wood pilings, but these are temporary measures, like a Band-Aid on a deep wound.
We try to keep up with it with wood pilings. It's an annual thing.
As Kingy Cook has described, rural water operators play vital roles in the respective villages. During the awards presentation, ANTHC's Cox was sure to emphasize how important Kingy Cook and his crew are to their community.
Operators here are great. They're some of the best in the region, I would say. Yeah, I mean, they keep the toilets flushing, they keep the water pressure good. You know, the guys here know what needs to be done.
Reporting in Savoonga, I'm JoJo Phillips.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.